So you all who came tonight, who breathed the difficult weather, at least in the form of pollen, from what I could tell from the was covering my car. Yes, you will know what to do when it comes to washing, and you will have those awkward moments of, do I have to tell them? Do I not have to tell them? They're doing the wrong thing. How do I? You know, you'll be in the know though, because you came to the shir tonight. So why do we wash? Why do we do Netilas Yadayim before bread? It's not a... I don't embarrass anybody here. But why do we wash? Why do we do Netilas Yadayim? So the Gemara itself asks that question. Amar Rav Idi bar Avin, Amar Rav Yitzhak bar Ashiyan. Netilas Yadayim l'chulin, when you wash your hands for chulin, meaning for non-kudshim, not for non-korbanos and things like that. Just, you know, for your regular Friday night deal, dinner. So if they srach truma, because of something having to do with truma, va'od mishum mitzvah, and also because it's a mitzvah, because it's a good thing to do. So the Gemara asks, okay, what's this mitzvah, right? What is this mitzvah? Amar baye mitzvah lishmo divrei chachamim. It's a mitzvah to listen to the rabbis, which is a good mitzvah to keep in mind, but it doesn't really explain. That's very similar to the answer that we give on Seder night to, oh, so that the children will ask. Right, but there has to be an answer behind that somewhat. So first of all, just quickly, what is srach truma? So srach truma is that there is a... in the laws of Tumah V'Tara, so there is no such thing as being half tamei. You cannot be partly tamei. You are either tamei or you are not tamei. However, Dirabanan, there is something called Tumas Yadayim. There is a further stricture of Tumas Yadayim, of Tumah of the hands, and in order to get rid of that, you wash your hands. So before eating something that is kodesh, either such as korbanos or such as truma, right, we wash your hands beforehand in order to get rid of this Dirabanan level of Tumas Yadayim. Okay.
So then why don't you wash before Kiddush?
What do you mean? What does that have to do with us at all? I mean, we're not eating Truma, we're not eating Kachim, and Truma and Kachim is often not bread, often Truma is fruits, vegetables, any, you know, a lot of other things that you eat. So this, and we're also not Kohanim. Right, this would really only be Kohanim. So what's going on here? So we assume it seems like to keep the flame alive. That seems to be the best pshat. Well, if you're going to assume, we'll see, maybe that's not even the pshat at all. But if you're going to assume that's the reason that the Rabbanan established that we should wash our hands for bread, it's to kind of remember that there is this thing that we do every once in a while called washing, even though the halachos, the way we keep it with regards to bread, really doesn't correlate very well to the way the halacha is supposed to be. We're going to do that in order so that we remember there is this thing called washing, and when Mashiach comes and Truma and Kachem come back into play, we'll figure out the details then. Right? That's one way of seeing it. But then you have the second idea, the Od Mishum Mitzvah, because of this mitzvah to listen to the rabbis. So what is that? So Tosfos on the side of the page in the second school and asks that question, and he says in the second source, V'im Tomer Ba'lo Mishum Srach Truma Taknua. Right? Wait, I thought you said because of Srach Truma, right? So there's two reasons. Because of this Truma and because I said so. Well, that's only one reason. So you came my V'od. What's the V'od? So V'yesh Lomar Detiknu Mishum Nikius. No, there was a Takana because of Nikius. What does that mean, Nikius? Nikius is cleanliness. So that's one level of just saying, well, this idea of us being clean, and they say that there are a lot of Jews, less Jews killed during the Black Plague, and they attribute it to that everybody washed their hands more often. All right, I get one nod out of the crowd, that's good. But what does it mean, Nikias? So... But and then they blame the Jews. Right. Then they blame the Jews. So there is a further idea. So there's another Gemara as well, where the Gemara mentions the idea of washing and says the Amar of Yehuda Amarava Amri Lab Masnis and Tana. It says in this stated by in a Brisa, Vihiskad Hashem, that you will be sanctified. That's referring to the Mayim Rishonim. Vayisem Kedoshim, and you will be holy. That's referring to the Mayim Achronim. Okay, good. So what is that? That already is what happened to the Srach Truma, what happens to the Tumas Yadayim we were talking about. So what's going on? So there is a paper that I happen to have. The Haggadah Shel Pesach Mibeis HaLevi, the Brisker Haggadah, which collects things from Rav Chaim and the Brisker Rav, the Griz, etc. And it's very good to have because, like, you know, over the course, none of them, they didn't write a Haggadah. They just, someone published a Haggadah and collected whatever they possibly could. So there's many interesting mitzvahs over the course of the night that we do all the other nights of the year as well, such as washing your hands. So we happen to have a section, oh, by the way, why do we wash our hands ever, right? Not just for Seder night, why do we wash our hands ever? And he has a nice little essay here from the Brisker Rav, from the Grizz. So here is a little bit of a section from that. And he says as follows, that the Yisod had on the top line, towards the end of that top line, where it says, "Yisod hadin hu lekayim mitzvos netila." The main thing is to mekayim this mitzvah, and not because of the Torah. Really, the second reason is the main one. V'chamo hadin, and what is it? To be inan kiddush yadayim v'raglayim la'avoda. Similarly, you wash your hands and your feet for the avoda. Right? That's what the kiyor was. That the kohen used to wash their hands, etc. So why are they washing their hands there? So, Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur as well. He's going to the mikvah all this time. Why is he going? I'm adding that in. Maybe that might be in the Torah. I'm not sure. But the Hassam Pashut Hu Delabashim Tara, everyone says Tara, Ella Be'inan Sheyachol Din Kiddush Be'adayim Raglayim. Rather, it's like a din of sanctifying it. You're sanctifying your hands, you're sanctifying your feet. Kemo Kein Hachab, Nitilas Yadayim Lechulin, Yisodu Hu Mitzvahs Chachamim Shal Nitilas La'achila. The Yisod is that Chachamim gave a mitzvah with regards to washing for eating. Be'ina Valkorchach Be'inan Sheyachol Aidei HaNitilas Shem Yadayim Netulos. So that your hands will be hands that are raised. We'll discuss later why it's called Netilas Yadayim, and so to speak, that we raise your hands as opposed to Netilas Yadayim at Truma, the Yimais Tara, where you wash your hands for Truma, that's for purifying it. But this isn't just that. This is beyond that. This is an idea that you're raising your hands. You're about to do something important. You're about to do something noteworthy, and that is having your meal. And in fact, the Gemara tells the very end of Chagiga, tells the following idea. The Gemara in Chagiga says, Rabbi Yochanan, they both agreed on the following. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, so Mizbeach, the altar, is what people, where people got their kapar, people got their atonement. The table of a person attains their kapara. So what is the idea of washing one's hands according to the Brisker points this Gemara as well. And he's saying, what is the idea of washing one's hands? It's a kind of idea of getting set for the meal. This isn't just going to be a thing where we eat and we move on, but we're sitting down and we're, you know, doing something that's important, that's holy, that's sanctified, etc. It's sort of setting it aside. So that is, I didn't actually make anybody try to give an answer of why we wash our hands before. So we have, most people will tell you, oh, the Truma has something to do with Truma. That's what most people, someone in the know will say. But this is, I think, a little bit more of a uplifted reason that when we have a meal, so we kind of take a little bit of time to say we're about to do something important, something chashuv, and kind of lifts up the meal. Okay, so that is item number one. So there are a few halachos when it comes to washing your hands. And yes,
is it also that the meal and the table are supposed to be like the altar, and so you're supposed to like replicate the kinds of actions?
I mean, you can make the connection that way, just as the Kohan, I think he is making that connection as well. That just as you wash your hands for the altar, but why did you wash your hands to go on the altar? To kind of be makdish it, not to get rid of truma, not to get rid of tuma, but rather to sanctify the act I'm about to do. So wash your hands to sanctify the act we're about to do. Similarly, by our modern day mizbeach, we sanctify the act we're about to do. Yeah?
It sounds like we're going backwards. It sounds like we're coming from a point of saying we're washing our hands, now
right,
Identifying reasons why we would do that.
Uh-huh.
And so we can say that we're making that the table that has our meal, we want to sanctify it. So it's not like we're washing our hands because the table's sanctified, but it's like we're sanctifying the table because we're washing our hands. It's almost like...
Are you asking a historical reason? Like, this sounds like you're drawing an arrow around... Oh.
Well, it just sounds like the reasoning behind why we're washing our hands is actually... was given because that's why we wash our hands. It's almost like a circle. In other words, he's saying we wash our hands because the table is kadosh.
Right.
But it sounds like the table didn't become kadosh until they needed to find a reason why we wash our hands.
The table didn't become kadosh only because you're washing your hands. But if you don't wash your hands, so let the table remain not kadosh.
Right, so
let's just not do it. So I think he's saying is, well, So there are several Gemaras, and we've pointed to a few of them in the past, in other contexts of, well, now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, so X fulfills this korban, B fulfills, and X fulfills that. So that might have been it. I mean, this is, we're trying to fill in for a missing Beis HaMikdash. So one of the ways to do that is identify the meal as a Kadosh Chaim, as it wasn't before. So how do we do that? So this might be one way of doing it, I think.
You know, you hear that you tell kids not to sit on the table
because the table is shulchan. Right. That's the Gemara.
Right. So maybe table being the shulchan came first, and the washing came second, or maybe it all came.
I would say it came together. There was a lot of stuff going on after, in the century after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Orthodox Judaism changed a lot. there were a lot of adjustments that needed to be made. So it could be it all came together. I don't know. I didn't work out the historical point. I don't think Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are Amoraim. They're living 400 years after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. 300 years after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So I don't think they're making this up, right? I think they're not. I think they're reciting something that I was already. Become an accepted idea. Okay, so a few halachos that I think people are often unclear about. Number one is the idea of how many times you wash. Do you wash once, twice, three times, four times?
Pouring times.
Yeah. How many times? How many times do you wash? What's going on there? So I'm not going into Kabbalah. I'm just doing just strict halacha. What does the Gemara say about washing one's hands? So Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav Mayim Rishonim. When you wash in the beginning of the meal, Sarach Shiagbia Yadav Lemaila. You have to raise your hands upwards like this. Mechilas Yudayim. You should wash your hands. You'll see people will be careful about this. They'll wash their hands with their hands up so that the water will go down onto their wrist. Mayim Achronim Sarach Shiagbia Yadav Lemata. However, the after one, so then you'll see the water go off. You can wash it like this, it'll drip right off. So why are people doing this? So the idea is that there's two things that need to happen when it comes to washing one's hands. So one is the idea of the tahara, but tahara is really the second thing. In order to get to the tahara, the purity kind of thing, you need to be able to have clean hands. Right? So that's really the first. So what you really need to do is make sure, A, that your hands are clean. B, you need to get the tahara off. However, what happens when you're with Tumas Yadayim? Tumas Yadayim has to go someplace. So where does it go? It goes into the water. Right? So you need to get the water off your hands as well. So besides getting the Tumah out of your hands, you also need to get the water, you need to get that water off of your hands. Okay, so how does that happen? So you might already be realizing, that might be where the multiple washings are coming in. Now, it's not necessarily meikar, then the Gemara doesn't necessarily talk about washing multiple times. The Gemara talks about using a significant amount of water, and enough amount of water that both of those processes could happen. That you could wash your hands, and that water, which now has a tumah on it, will be coming off. How much is that? A revius. It's not very much. Revius is less than a kiddush cup. Less than a.
That's not the total amount of water you have to use
per hand.
Per hand,
right?
Regardless of the number of times you.
Right, that is the minimum amount that one would require that you'd require to use, and not even necessarily multiple times. So, how does the Shulchan Aruch recommend this? Let me talk about it more. Hanotel Yadav Shofich Aleihem. So again, I still haven't figured out how to get the parentheses forward. I've gotten pretty good with using this Bar Ilan online, but the parentheses are all still facing facing the wrong direction. I don't know why that is. Hanotel Yadav Shofich Aleihem. So, one who pours a hand, you pour water on. Ksas meharavias lahasimim. So, some of the revias to get off halichluch, the dirt that's there, v'chol davar shechotzitz, and anything else that is separating. V'achar kach, and afterwards, shofech aleim pam shenis v'gam ilu hamayim him tameim. And then you pour on again, and this water is also tameim. because the first water has only gotten rid of the dirt, that hasn't gotten rid of the tuma, and the second water now is getting rid of the tuma. So now the second water that has come out is now tame. So va'achar kach shofach aleihem pam shlishis, and then you pour on a third time l'tar hamayim shel gavei hayadayim in order to purify the water that is on top of your hands. Meaning the hand, the water is now sitting there. So you've now poured a third time according to the Mechaber. Yes, this is according to Shulchan. Now he's starting from a point that we're not generally.
He's starting from your hands are dirty.
He's starting from your hands are dirty. Very good. So our hands often aren't dirty. So let's see if that affects things. So if your hands are not dirty, the davar chotzeis, and there's nothing separating there. Shofachal shtei yadav revias bevasachas. You could pour in your two hands a revias. I mean, I think each revius at once. You don't have to do this whole thing. You don't even need two things of water. Just revius at once. That will get the tuma out and will get washed off in one swoop. That's the Mechaber. It's passing for Sfardim. So now comes the italics, the Rama, right? He put his stuff in italics. I don't know. That's my way of dividing it up. If you have a lot of water, get rid of the dirt. I don't even need the three, meaning just get rid of the dirt. Well, once your hands are somewhat clean, so all you have to do is pour a revius on and you're good. You should clean them in order to rub them in order to get them to be clean. That's the end of what he says.
That's two pourings.
So he's saying two pourings, but one of them is just to clean your hands. So in theory, according to the Rama, he says you really only have to pour once. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah,
you pour once for tumah.
One, you only have to pour once a revius because the first drop will get the tumah off and the rest of it will wash the rest off. Now the Mishnah Berurah comments that he thinks that you should do the two separate washings. That's the general practice. The general practice is to do two washings. But if somebody
somebody's doing one or three, you shouldn't be trying to correct them.
Right. But using a significant amount of water is important. Of course, one needs to point out there is the famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that he apparently was makban using a lot of water, and one time he used a very little water, and his talmidim asked him, "But Rebbe, don't you use a lot of water?" He says, "Yes, but that's the washing station clause. Right? There's some poor lady who's bringing the water up from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill, and if the more water I use, the more she's going to have to schlep, so I'm going to use less water." So truth is that, like, okay, we use running water, but I think there is a washing station clause. There is, when you're at events when there are people that are constantly schlepping the water in, I think it does bear in mind the not necessarily minimal amount of water, or also if sometimes you're in these like situations like it happens when you're in camp or something and everyone's got to wash, like 40 kids line up by like the water fountain. That's right. So I think there it comes in practice to keep in mind the smaller amount of water that is really what's absolutely necessary with that's contained in the din of Shulchan Aruch.
Remember the funeral recently, Abraham, so they had no running water.
Right.
We're washing from a bottled water.
Right, right. So these non-running water situations, it is good to bear in mind the more modest shear that is what is required. Okay? So that is halacha number one. Halacha number one is how many times. Halacha number two, the idea of the bracha. So the bracha by Netiyas Yadayim is very interesting. Right? As you think about it, it's very odd, right? We make the bracha after you do the mitzvah, and we don't often do that. So we don't just not often do that. We never do that. except for we'll see the examples that are mentioned here in the Gemara and in the Rishon. So the Gemara comments: Damar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel. All mitzvos you make the bracha beforehand. I'm sanctifying what I'm about to do. So my mashvatai over lisha daktumeku. So how do you know that the word over, right? Everyone just says over leasiyasa and never stop to think about it. What does the word over mean? So the Gemara actually asks, how do you know that over means before? Since when does the word over mean before? And he actually quotes three psukim that seem to indicate that. We don't have to go through the psukim, but there are three psukim that seem to indicate that over means before. first. So if you go to the end of the second line, it says, Be Rav Amri, in the house of Rav, they said, Chutz min hatvila v'shofar. With the exception of somebody who goes to the mikvah, we'll see who that someone is, and shofar, blowing the shofar. So the Gemara says, well, Bishlama Tevila, I understand Tevila, right, you go to the mikvah, that Kasi Gavr Lochazi, because the person is not yet fit. Now the assumption in the Rishonim, Mus Rishonim, is that this is talking about a ger, right? That's right. He is not fit. Why is he or she not fit? Because he or she is not Jewish, right? So they go to the mikvah, and then right afterwards they make the bracha. We'll see how that translates in a minute. So that's example A. But shofar, why do you have to wait till after shofar is done? And if you're going to tell me v'chitim yishum dilma mekalkulei tkiya, then maybe he won't be able to get the blows out. Yach yafilu shchita milanami. Well, there could be a problem with other mitzvos as well. Shchita, you might not be a kosher shchita. Mila, I don't want to even think about what could go wrong, but something could go wrong that you're not even going to be able to do the mitzvah. So Ella Amar of Chista Chutz Min HaTevila Bilvadi. So Chil said, you're right, cross out shofar, it's just Tevila. Just something about Tevila, minimally a ger, that he's the one who makes a bracha after the, or she makes a bracha after they do it, but every other mitzvah you make a bracha beforehand. So Tosfos here makes the following point. You can't say I was commanded. He's still not Jewish. But other people who go to the mikvah, so his example is a bal keri, but it would apply to a woman as well going to the mikvah, they can make the bracha beforehand. He says, however, there are three places, he says, where the minhag is to do it later. Skip that line. So even so, as you go to the third line in Tosos, the Aleph Ayin Pei Chaf stands for even so. Omeri recommended the Ein Ligor Benashim Shemavarchus Achar Tvila Kevin De Ika Tvilas Ger De Lo Matz Levarech Lo Chilku. Says, however, don't yell at the women that make the bracha after the Tvila. So I think that is the general practice: is that women go to the mikvah, right, and then after the first dunk, so then they make the bracha at that point. Make the bracha after. So those here are saying, don't yell at the woman for doing that. That is, I think, standard Ashkenazic practice. When I was learning Hilchos Nidus or Sobolovsky, so he told the story that he got a call from a mikvah lady one night saying that Rabbi, we have a problem. What's the problem? There's a woman here and she insists on making the bracha first. So he says to her, well, is she Sephardic? So she said, well, yeah, she's Sephardic. So their custom is to make the bracha first. So she said, the mikvah lady said, yes, but this is an Ashkenazi mikvah. And she shouldn't, it's our minhag should carry the day. So to which he told her, well, she's not davening for the amud, she's going to the mikvah. So let her do it as her practice is, and that's okay. So then he continues on and says, and similarly, v'chein, b'netilas yadayim lo chilku. And also by netilas yadayim, we also b'netilas shal achar b'isak. He say delo matzi levarich kodem, that because there are times when you're going to wash immediately after you went to the bathroom, or immediately after one, your hands are dirty, etc. You can't make the bracha beforehand. So therefore, we're going to allow you to make the bracha after netilas yadayim. So it's already somewhat a couple steps removed, right? The idea of making a bracha after you wash, as opposed to before you wash, is based on the idea of Geirus, right? The kind of an extension from Geirus. So that's a little wishy-washy, right? Really, we're going to make the bracha. That's a little odd. So Tosus throws in one more piece here. He says, Yesh tam acher levarich acher netila kodem niguv. Right, there's another reason as well, because after you wash, you're still before the drying, and drying is also part of the mitzvah. So people don't always realize this, but that's also that drying your hands after washing is something that needs to be done, and it's so much part of the mitzvah that we'll say, oh, you can make the bracha after you wash, before you dry your hands. Why? Right? Because it's still part of the mitzvah.
Yeah.
So you're still part. You're still getting this.
Now you're back like the mitzvah, where you're doing it partway through.
Right. So you're going to do it partway through. Right. So the truth is, the mikvah is not. Because the mikvah, you really, even though the woman might go more than once, you really need to go once. As soon as you go once, the mitzvah is done. But certainly by netilas yadayim, so that's it's okay. Right, so so a couple things about that. Number one is drying your hands is an important thing, important part of the mitzvah. Another thing is that
okay, so doing this is not okay.
Doing that right, not okay. I'm not getting into this drying, but doing that is not ideal. But also another aspect of this is sometimes people wait to dry their hands before they start making the bracha. Like my kids, I don't know how. So I haven't yet had the heart to correct them. They're like, until they get the towel, and then they'll make the bracha. Not Yeshua, but the little ones. So, all right, fine. But really, one should make the bracha before one gets into their drying mode, and that is the halacha here, right? I quoted this halacha here at the bottom. Mevarich kodem natila shekol hamamnitzu mevarich aleim overly asas and almost you do beforehand. Benagu shul mevarich adachar natila. We are minig. Is not to make a bracha until after the tefillah. Mishum to pamim in yadav nikiyos. Your hands sometimes aren't clean. With neikach mevarach aleim achar shiv shesh yada. You should make the bracha after your hands are clean. Shekvar yadav nikiyos kodem sheyito aleim. Your hands should be clean before you wash them. A second, you should sometimes dry your hands. Some people do this also. That you dry your hands before pouring on the second time in order to make sure that your hands are clean when you ultimately wash your hands.
Rabbi Gross.
Fine. Yes.
I defer to you. Go first. So 5-10 minutes ago, they were also talking about shofar, and I realized they said no, shofar wasn't. Why did they even bring shofar to being?
I don't know. I don't know what the havamina was. I don't know.
Okay.
Yes.
A very long time ago, like 60 years ago, 80, 50 years ago, I was taught to say the bracha between the first and the second pouring over your hands. That way you've covered kind of all of your bases.
It's kind of the same thing as with the towel.
It might be the same idea. It might be the same theory, yes. I don't know. I've never heard of it, but I could find that. I could see that getting the person in line behind you a little annoyed. But I don't know. I've never heard that before. There are those that have the minhag. There are those. I think there are those that say wash before, that this whole thing is wrong and you should wash before. So I think Rosh Hashanah is
you mean
before to make the bracha before and then do it. So
The grunt says before drawing,
like we're doing. Okay. So there are those that have the practice of even making the bracha before. So Shefter is somewhat famous for making the bracha and then going and doing washing his hands. And he has recommended, I heard this before Pesach, that the Seder night when one washes, you should do this, that you should make the bracha before washing. So that the children will ask. The children will be doing. And then you have an opportunity to explain the entire halacha about the overlay as yes and not, and really, and should be, but it's not. But fine.
Can you address
the
question? How many times do you have to wash?
Yes.
Sorry. The oldest daughter with the previous Lubavitch Rebbe of, say, Petersburg, where he washed an extra time. That the minute was, and they asked him how come, and he quoted Hagar's Ashrei, that when you, after soaking and salting the meat, you should rinse it 4 times, I think, to get off the salt, and then afterwards to get off the original water that was on it. And he says the same thing when you wash before eating bread. So according to the guide in the morning, where the general custom is to wash 3 times,
four times. Right.
So I asked Shmuel, if those who follow this rule, why don't they do the same thing before eating? So he hesitated, and he said, I'll tell you the truth. That's my father's minhag.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I had a few minhagei hagra.
Women with candle lighting is another example.
Okay, this is a specific reason. It's also not this. Okay.
But there is says, like when you if you you don't make the bracha until after you see lightning, rainbow, or thunder.
Right. So those aren't birchas hamitzvah. Those are birchas. Those are birchas sheva. So I'm recognizing the idea. Right. Jonathan raised the idea of what about wash? What about the hadlakas neiros on Shabbos? So there.
That's what we call
Shabbos.
You can't
like
them.
So there's right. There's a reasons for those. For there's reasons for that, and you don't look at it, and really the mitzvah is to get hanah. This is really not to light the candle. The mitzvah is to get the benefit from the candle over the course of the mitzvah.
Show for the real mitzvah is to hear the sounds. The blowing is only a hashar's preparation. So maybe that's one of the questions.
So
I don't know.
Okay. So what about so what about if there is no water around? So the idea is that there's no water around, so this is some of them in my mitzvah, Mr. Shulchan Aruch says, if there's no water found, lefun of berachuk yoser mi arba milim l'achra mil, either 4 milim ahead, which is about 2.5 miles or so, or behind you a mil, 3/4 of a mile, I'm not sure what the numbers are. So yitul yadeha b'mata, v'ochel, you should cover your hands with a tablecloth, v'ochel pas, and eat bread, o davar shetibul v'mashke, or something else that you would have needed to wash for. So that's a zeta. It's a zeta. If you can't wash, so then cover your hands. So you could. I've seen in my years of camping experience, some kids say, "Oh, I'm not going to bother wash. I'll just cover my hands and forget about it." So they point out that what are you? Why are you covering your hands? So as we pointed out before, there's two reasons to wash. One is the idea of the truma reason, and the second idea is to elevate the meal, etc., etc. So what is the purpose of covering your hands? So what?
No.
So the only thing you're accomplishing is the truma reason, right? You're not accomplishing anything with regards to raising the table. It's raising the table, raising, sanctifying the meal, or anything like that. So why don't you have to wash to do it? So that's the takana. The rule is that if there's no water around, that you're not obligated to undergo that. But if there is water around, so then the takana is, the mitzvah is, you are required to go ahead and do it. So if there is water around, the idea of covering your hands so that one can eat bread without washing is not a very good etza.
Okay. I'm sorry, if we're eating in the baggie,
right?
So that there's a barrier between the
right.
So we should never touch it at all. Is that
so? It shouldn't be touched, right?
Then. Right. So even if we can't get that last quarter piece, we can't get it out of the baggie in a way that we're not going to touch it. We should just
yeah. Right, that would be.
Or we should just not eat bread.
Or
water.
Okay. Or look for water.
We'll get out our little
finding.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. We just usually don't eat bread.
That's okay. Don't eat bread.
Okay.
That's a layman's answer, but I wanted to offer you. I love them. If you're on a plane, they tell you this is.
I need to be mitaking something that's been in my family for many generations. I need a little bit of time to be able to cover the last thing, and that is the idea of not speaking. So, what is the idea of not speaking? Right. Famously, right. We one of the very identifiable aspects of a Jewish meal is that between washing and eating bread, so nobody speaks during that time. So, what is behind that? So, if one looks in the Shulchan Aruch, this is the way that halacha is presented. It's the very last. It's not even the last halacha in Tiyos Yadayim. It's actually in the halachos of eating a bread meal, which is after the laws of Tiyos Yadayim. It says as follows: Yesh omrim she'ein tzarach lizar milahafzik bin atila lahamotzi. There are those that say that you don't really have to worry about any separation between atila and hamotzi, between washing and hamotzi. There's no connection. They're totally different things. You don't have to worry about that type of separation. Go talk away. And there are those that say that no, you should be careful and not have any separation. And it's a good idea to not have any separation. Fine. So, and then he says, "Vim shah kadei hiluch chaf bezama." If you pause enough to walk 22 amos, so then that's already considered a separation. That's a big problem because sometimes the sink is more than 22 amos away, and sometimes you have to wait for somebody else, etc. So you're in the process. There's a reason for it. There's a sorry for it. Fine.
The idea of talking then would also be to have a induce a separation. essentially a separation.
So you don't want to have a separation.
Agreed, but you know, okay. So you, but the point is, you can have separation in different ways.
Right.
Okay.
So comes the so there's two very important myths that I would like to quash right now. Right. So one is mentioned here in the Mishnah Berurah, and that is Vida. And you should realize the Ikar Din Chaticha Tekifas Hamuskar B'Simen Zed. The main point of connecting the two, Hurak Mitzvah L'Chachila. That's only the ideal thing. About B'Di'eved, but B'Di'eved, if after the fact somebody spoke, somebody talked, right? You had to take the kid upstairs, right? Yeah, whatever. Afilu Shah Harbi, even if you waited a long time, oh hifzik bin tayim, or you had a separation, ain sarach lachzor v'litol yadav. You don't have to wash again. Kosher l'siach taytu bin tayim mishmeres yadav. As long as you haven't made your hands dirty, right? As long as nothing has happened to your hands during the intermeaning time, so there's no reason to go ahead and go wash your hands again. That is mitoras. You know, kindergarten teachers, right? Every kid is taught this at some point to get them to stay quiet, right? There's no such halacha that you have to go back and wash again. So that's halacha number one.
It's a good crowd control.
Wash, say kiddush, and then do hamotzi when we're in the
sukkah. Right. 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 I mean,
when we're on the patio.
In Shulchan Aruch, that is the din that seems to be recorded, and that is that that you can wash and make kiddush on bread, or make kiddush on wine, and then have the bread after. Yeah, that is. Some people have that practice. The second thing, and this is why I mentioned it's in the family, and that is from a drash from the tzlach. The tzlach is my, and this is, you have to look there and not in the Shulchan Aruch, is that it's almost, it shouldn't even need to be mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, and it's not. But the tzlach is the Nodeb Yehuda. The Nodeb Yehuda was the Rav of Prague, and he gave these drushos. It took me a while to find this, but I always knew that it was in the drushos of the tzlach. I have a sefer of the drushos of the tzlach as part of the tzlach, but it's apparently it's not there. It's a different book, which I was finally able to find today, thanks to the good graces of HebrewBooks.org. So there's a sefer drush hatzlach, which are the drushos, the Shabbos Shuvah drushes that he gave when he was the Rav of Prague. And the reason I entitled this as of why the Nodeb Yehuda almost quit the rabbinate is because in the beginning of his fourth drasha in the book, he mentions, I've been the Rav of Prague for 3 years. It's his fourth Shabbos Shuvah drasha. And every year I give you Musar during Shabbos Shuvah. And nobody has listened to anything that I say. Maybe I'm just not a good rabbi. I'm not good delivering. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But maybe I should just quit. But for now, I'm still the rabbi of Prague. So what can I do? I have the mitzvah this year to go ahead and give you a little bit more tachacha. So the truth is, this is not why you almost quit the rabbi. What he was complaining about is the year before, he had spoken about how there's no such thing as mezonos rolls, which is something Rabbi Cohen was alluding to before. And really he's talking about bagels. He said people think you don't have to wash on bagels, and you do have to wash on bagels, and I don't know why everybody thinks that you don't have to wash on bagels, and etc. And that's why you almost quit the and the year next later he said, you're still not listening to me about the bagels, and that's why I should maybe quit, because you're still not following my psakim, and I'm supposed to be the rabbi here, etc., etc. I don't know how he was. I think he was my age when he gave that. Now that I think about it, when he got to Prague, etc. Fine. So and says now he goes ahead and says, let me tell you a couple things that I think you all need to be rebuked on. This is number 22, right? It goes. It continues on. It continues on for a little bit further. So he talks about how he's upset about Chil Shabbos. Obviously, Prague was a very modern city, but he's upset. He thinks more people should do Tikkun Chatzos, because during the winter the night times are so long. What are you doing sleeping the whole time? You should get up early and do Tikkun Chatzos, and you should go ahead and do that. And he's upset. I went through them. They were very interesting. Today I went through some of them. I'm just totally eluding my mind what they were. He's upset about breakaway minions. There's a little paragraph that he says that there's an idea of not just it's important to daven with a minion, but besides just davening with a minion, it's very important to daven in shuls. And there's a special idea of having kedushas beis hakdesas, and it's terrible that people are having minyanim in their houses, and everybody really needs to come to shul in order to be part of minyanim there. That was one of the things I found interesting. But there's a whole bunch of them. There's 40 of them or so. You can go take a look. So one of them here he records here in the middle, and that is netilas yadayim l'seuda hamizalzav netilas yadayim neck nekar mina olam. If you don't do netzilas yadayim right, you're erased from the world. V'hizer bo misbarach v'nosin lo malei chafnav tivusa v'inei tzarech li zahir. Here we go. Litin revias pavas achas al hayat. Everybody needs to be careful to put a revias on their hand at once. Sha'az nitzul mikama chashashos, because that will solve a lot of your problems. V'tol mikli shalim, and you should pour from a full cup. Okay, we didn't cover that tonight. Umama od hashgasi b'seudos shafilu halomdim in nizirim. And now I've seen at meals things that even those people that know how to learn aren't careful about. And this is the big one. Be'netila lebracha netilas yadayim. Right, between the washing and the brachas of netilas yadayim. V'yoser hema nizharim lahafsik achar birchas netilas yadayim lebirchas hamotzi. V'tos hu biyadam. He says between the washing, between the bracha and the washing. Hishafilu halom einam nizhir binatila lebrachas lebirchas netilas yadayim v'yoser hema nizharim lahafsik achar birchas netilas yadayim lebirchas amotzi. That between the washing and the bracha, people will chat away, and from the once they wash until the bracha, then they clam up and don't say anything after that. He's saying that's totally incorrect. I mean, it's not. The second half's not so incorrect, but the first part's incorrect. But tell us who be yadam. Ki kodem birchas netilas yadayim. That before you make the bracha netilas yadayim, imsach, if you talk, tzarech litul shenitz, you have to wash again. That's when you have to wash again. If you wash your hands and then you start and you keep talking, right? And then you decide to make a bracha, so that's a hefsik. That's a separation. You've done the mitzvah and then you've had a separation, and then the bracha has nothing to do with the washing that you've done. That's when you're really, really, really not allowed to talk, right? The achar birchas yadayim who rocks the hiris ba'alma. And the idea of not washing after netilas yadayim, not talking after the bracha of netilas yadayim, that's a chumrah. I mean, it's a good idea. It's a good chumrah. I'm not saying you should go and chat away between that. But the main thing one has to be careful about is from the time that you begin washing. You'll see people continue to wash and can continue to talk, and then they'll stop talking before they finish washing. No, before you start washing, you have to stop talking. And only then, and then you make a bracha immediately afterwards. Then our practice is to continue not to talk until you make hamotzi. But the main thing that one has to be careful about is that zman, from the time you start the mitzvah until you make the bracha on the mitzvah, which in this case you're making the bracha afterwards, right? That's the time that is totally prohibited to talk, and that's the time, as the Nozdi Behuda points out, that if you do talk, then what happens? That's when you'd actually have to go back and you have to repeat the bracha. So did several halakhos tonight. I hope this was helpful, and myths have been busted.